You're listening to Quest to the Core, a podcast about leading with intention, clarity, and courage from the inside out, where the leadership journey gets personal, reflective, and powerfully real. In every episode, Jonna and Simone invite you into thoughtful dialogue that challenges assumptions, sharpens self-awareness, and equips you with actionable insights to lead with greater impact. Now, here is today's episode.
Welcome back to Quest to the Core, where we explore the mindsets and moments that shape how we lead, learn, and live. I'm Jonna.
And I'm Simone. Today, we're going to unpack the tools of communication. And spoiler alert, words are just one piece of those tools.
When people hear tools of communication, they usually think vocabulary, tone, or maybe even body language. But that's like saying a hammer is the only tool in the toolbox. And the truth is, leaders have a whole set of tools available. Too often, we reach for this same one over and over.
We just toss those words out pretty carelessly, oftentimes. And the real starting point is, what experience do I want the receiver to have? Because what they experience, not what you intend, is really what counts.
When most of us hear tools of communication, we automatically think about words, the words that we say. But here's the truth. Communication doesn't start with words. It actually starts long before that. It starts with the way we think. Because if our thinking is scattered, our communication will be too. And as leaders, sloppy thinking creates sloppy experiences for people all around us. So we're going to start with probably the most overlooked tool of communication, and that is sharpening our thinking before we even speak.
I love this conversation because it gets down to the whole intentionality of it. I want to share a cascade or a process that I think if our listeners use it, it can create that desired experience for other people. And that's where you start with the idea, and then you really give consideration over the words, those exact words that you use. And then what's the order, put an intentionality of the order that you use. And then choosing what's the medium for words.
So think about the words, the order, and then the vehicle in which you're going to convey.
Yeah. And start with the idea first. So the idea comes first, and then the thinking comes next.
And so I know we've talked a lot about different tools that we can use, but there are three specific tools that really can help sharpen our thinking. And one of them might actually surprise you around the idea of word choice. So beyond structuring the message, beyond looking at the medium in which you are going to deliver the message, it is that word choice. Mm-hmm. And so I know this is your favorite tool when you think about the tools of communication. And so what is that tool?
The dictionary.
What?
Yes, the dictionary. You know, word choice really matters. Using words almost as an instrument, being very precise with that instrument, and small shifts in the words that we use can have an impact on how people experience what we're saying. We've talked about the communication is that bridge between intent and impact. If I'm responsible for the experience over there, based on the intention I have, using precise words is an excellent tool to help you get there.
Even in our planning sessions, we'll say a word and we're like, okay, what does that actually mean? And so I think the dictionary, WebsterDictionary.com, is probably one of the most common sites that we visit as we're planning.
It is.
But if you think about it, there are so many words that we use in everyday common language that we interchange, but they actually have very different meanings. And so if we take a moment, pause about what some of those meanings actually are and what message we're trying to convey, it can make a huge difference on that experience and the impact that it has.
The words that we use create a world for other people. So words create worlds. What was that?
So it's one of our favorite sayings.
Yes, words create worlds. And if you want to create a world for a person to listen to or to be empowered in, you got to consider the words that you're putting inside of that space. I've used the dictionary often before I do a presentation to get really clear and precise in the words that I want to use and share. How have you used the dictionary?
Well, I think it's thinking about the message you want to convey. And when you think about that message and understanding what those words actually mean, because you can say something and you think it means something else. And by using that word, it's going to send a totally different message. And by taking the time to look it up, and that could even be in sending an email, and it could be in providing instruction to a team or giving feedback. When we give feedback, being more intentional about the words that we choose can set the direction and potentially set people down the wrong path if we're not intentional about the words that we use. Do you have some examples of specific words, especially in an organizational setting, that we use all the time, but really what we're trying to mean is something else?
Yes, I've got a couple. When there is an issue that's come up, by using the word problem, it creates a type of energy or space around it. They hear the word problem and automatically they think, well, we're behind on something or we've done something wrong. I don't know about you, but when I feel like somebody thinks I've done something wrong, I skitter about trying to fix it. And when we're in a fixing mode, we lose creativity.
And when you lose creativity, say that again.
When we're in an urgent mode, we lose creativity. And so we automatically cut off possible solutions because I'm just trying to fix it. So a reframe for the word problem may be challenge. So if you're like a leader and you've got this problem or issue, rather than getting the team together saying, hey, we've got this big problem, shift it to, we have a challenge as a group that I know we can solve together.
And that's powerful.
Yeah, it's a small reframe, but it empowers people differently. And when you think about what's the fundamental reason you are there at work, and that's to produce and perform, what good does it do to set people up for feeling like they're behind already?
And decrease creativity.
Decreases creativity.
One word that really challenged me is deadline, because we talk all the time about projects having deadlines. And I have made the conscious effort to ensure that I shift that from deadline to target date. Because we may say, oh, this is a deadline, but if you run into issues, we can always push it. But still, there is that almost like weight of, oh my goodness, there is this deadline. We have to make this deadline. But reframing it into a target date says, hey, this is where we're going to focus our time, energy, and effort. But again, if it has to be pushed, it's much easier to look at, okay, this was our target date. We ran into complications or issues and we had to push it, than to say, this was our deadline and we missed our deadline.
That's a powerful reframe. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it almost shifts it from a have to do to a game, because you have targets in games.
Yeah. Well, and I also think about teams that are high performers or have lots of high achievers on their team. They already put enough pressure on themselves. Mm-hmm. And then now you add this extra weight of the word choice of, we have this deadline. You could potentially open up the opportunity for them to achieve even more or even faster or even more effectively simply by shifting that word usage.
Yeah, because you talk about it being a weight, so you're removing that weight from them.
And which I think that leads to the second tool, which is the structure, right? The composition and how we frame that message. So choosing the words, using the dictionary, choosing those words, but then how do we structure it? So do you have any thoughts or tips on the composition?
The composition, how you put the words together after you've chosen those words, carries the thought from your head into their space and it gets it out in the space in between you. In terms of a composition, the starting point of how you're going to frame the message is really critical. You know, with Simon Sinek's video that became very popular, Start With Why. If people know your why, they're willing to follow you. There's a lot inside of his message. That why, the purpose, will inspire people to follow. The what really is more of the transaction. Here's how we're going to do it. Here's my list of things to do. So if you start with the what, then it really changes how they're going to experience the message, because you're starting with this weight of all the list of things I need to do versus where this is going to fit in and why it's important for us to do that. So the sequence of the words is really critical. So not just the word choice or not just the grammar that you use, but how you sequence it, and it really sets the tone for the experience for people.
So just kind of going back to kind of that cascade of thought that you had mentioned earlier. So the idea really is the why, the exact words you go to the dictionary for, and then that intentional order, right, is the composition.
Yeah, it is. It is. Yeah, and if you want to drive compliance, start with your what. If you want to inspire people, want to drive commitment to what you're doing, then start with the why. And in some instances, you may need to drive compliance.
Absolutely.
You know, in a high emergency situation or a disastrous situation, we don't need a lot of inspirational conversation. It's like, here's a situation. Here's what we got to do. Because they need that confidence.
Yeah. Urgency almost becomes the why. And I think if you put each one of those pieces in place, right, if you truly have a clear understanding of the why, the exact words, that intentional order, right, of how you're going to compose it, I think the vehicle in which, or the medium in which you use the instrument, becomes a lot easier to select. I don't know about you.
It really does, because that's that last stage of the cascade. So it depends on what you're wanting to create, but there's a lot inside that medium. So those are the instruments. You want to think about your presence, how you come across. So there are some things that help you do that. What's the words? What are you saying? How do you look? Like the visual part of it, just the general presence of it. Your nonverbals are a big part of an instrument of communication. If you're wanting to inspire and get people excited, you don't want to just sit back and, you know, be monotone on something and your hand standing still or in your pocket or behind your back. You want to be a little bit more animated with that. And you don't want to be overly animated if it's a somber message. So the medium, that instrument, is really critical to think about.
Again, those things become easier when we provide intention behind it. And that intention starts with our thought. So if we are lazy in our thought and we're just like, hey, we need to get this communication out, and we send it out, we typically get into trouble for that.
We do. That's where you hear a lot of people, when you're asking, why didn't it produce the result? They say, well, I sent an email. They just didn't read it. Well, an email may not have been the right medium. So it's much like an artist. If an artist uses watercolor or clay, that's a very different message when you look at it. So the medium shapes that message before any word is said.
I think the artist is such a great metaphor, because when we think about even going to an art exhibit, we spend time sitting there contemplating, right, of the work that's produced, and you sit there and wonder and about the intentionality the artist had with choosing the colors and the perspective and all of these things. And so it's almost as if before we communicate a message, become an artist of that message. And then we hopefully will be more intentional about the words that we choose, how we structure it, and the instrument in which we send the message.
And I think that's why the whole discipline of change management is so foreign to people, because they'll often say, we need to get change management. What they're saying is we need an orchestrated method to get the messaging out so that all of this work that's being done will be adopted in the way that it was intended. And so this orchestrated messaging is not just one person standing up in a meeting saying something, and it's not just an email, but it's a string of timing, much like an orchestra with music. The message here is that this whole segment is on the thinking part, is the first tool. You've got to do the thinking of all of it. So if it's a bigger message you need to send, you need to write out your thinking and the plan. What's the word choice? What is that medium that we're going to use? Let's put all of it together.
I really liked how you said that this was the thinking part of communication, kind of that inward thought process. So these tools inside of us, but then there's also things that we can think about that are outside. So those outer tools, because communication is not just delivery. Mm-hmm. It really is about the design, and we have to be intentional about that as well. And so as you were talking about the instrument we use, and especially with the urgency and the change management, those types of things, cadence plays a huge part in formulating that message and how it lands with the other person. So how does that cadence impact the message you're trying to send?
Well, you know, the speed of it is one thing. The right people need to know at the right time, or else some people are going to get upset. Regardless of whether or not I think the change is great, I'm going to be upset by it because of how I heard it and when I heard it. So that speed of it, the timing of it can really erode trust if it's done wrong.
And how often does that happen?
It happens very, very often.
Well, and I think understanding the message that needs to go out and the cadence is so important. And when we think about what that message is, you know me, I dove into the research and the Journal of Applied Behavior Science in 2011 did a meta-analysis of 88 studies on organizational change. And what they found was that structured, slower paced communication increased employees' understanding and reduced resistance, which when we have to communicate a change, that's what we want. We want employees to understand. We want people to not be resistant to the change. They can still be upset with the change, but not necessarily resistant to the change. And so how we think about the cadence can really impact the long-term effect of what that change is.
The way you positioned it, the reducing the resistance to the change, because there's going to be resistance, always.
Always. There's always going to be resistance.
You want to reduce it, minimize it, mitigate it.
We are creatures of habit. Yeah. We want the same thing, and we want the security of the same thing. And when we think about complex and emotionally charged communication, we have to be slower. Our pace, our cadence has to be slower, and it has to be done in those richer channels. So when you think about sending that email, yes, that was great that communicated it. Emotionally charged, people want that face-to-face time. People want that personal connection when something really is complex or emotionally charged.
Yeah, it's not a one and done for any of it, is what I'm hearing you say and what I agree with.
Yeah.
So I may be making up that I heard you say that, but that's what I'm hearing from it. It's just, it can't be a one and done.
Which leads us to another tool, and that's repetition.
Yeah.
You know, I think we've all heard, or at least hopefully most of us have heard, right? You need to say something 5 or 7 times before somebody actually absorbs the information. And this is proven in research. Uh-huh. The University of Maryland in Baltimore put out a document that shows this. And what behavioral science shows us is that repetition creates cognitive ease.
Yeah. And it increases the trust that I have for somebody. If I'm hearing it from multiple people, multiple sources, a consistent message. It doesn't have to be the exact same words, but a consistent message.
And it allows our brains, right, not to have to think as much mm-hmm. about that piece of information if we've heard it multiple times. Mm-hmm. So saying we sent an email, why are people not changing their behavior? Well, we need to communicate 5 to 7 times. And I would even add the caveat, we need to communicate not just 5 to 7 times, but communicate in different modalities, in different mediums, so that, right, it is connected to mind, body, heart, right, in all of those different mediums.
Yeah, it supports that world concept of creating the world. So these are, you know, the outward tools of communication. So the cadence, the repetition, and it's part of creating that experience for the other person to receive the intended message and have the intended impact.
And our last tool with the outer communication tools is that paraphrasing. And that is one way that we can ensure that we are continuing that experience that we intended to have in the beginning. And by paraphrasing, so reframing or retelling, when we are having a conversation, that is allowing us to know creating that impact. Does it land the way that we intended for it to land with the other person by simply retelling or reframing, getting confirmation? Then we know if we need to go back and adjust or repeat communication or change the cadence.
I've used paraphrasing a good bit in leadership courses. It's a great exercise to help people with their listening.
And it creates that connection with the other person. Mm-hmm. I know in the Journal of Counseling Psychology, they have shown that paraphrasing increases the perceived empathy and trust by 40% compared to conversations that don't have paraphrasing. So that's powerful.
If I feel you've heard me of what I'm trying to say, then I'm going to trust you more, even if we have a totally different view on something.
Yeah. And showing that connection in the conversation really does deepen that relationship and allows more trust, openness. And if we're looking for behavior change, this is extremely important. So I think, you know, obviously having a well-designed message is so important, and you can spend a lot of time, energy, and effort in being intentional about designing this message, but it may not always land the way that we want it to land. And that is because if we're not present in that moment, if our presence doesn't match the intent behind it, people are going to know.
Yes, it's really important for us to spend some time on presence. So what do we mean by presence? And before people can really calculate the words that you said, they're going to feel the energy that you had when you came in the room.
So can you say that again?
They're going to feel the energy that you had when you came in the room before they process any words that you've said. So that feeling that they get becomes a filter that they're going to hear your words through. So think about presence is kind of, it's a wrapper around the words. You think about a piece of candy, the candy that's tough to open, you give up on it and you don't eat it. But the wrapper that's easy to come off, I'll eat that candy. And so that's the presence we're talking about. What wrapper are you bringing your message in? And that wrapper is, it's you. So you are often a lot louder than the words themselves and what you bring into a room.
Which is so crazy to think about, right? And our brains are so fascinating, but it is truly amazing that our brain does pick up on that energy. Mm-hmm. It picks up on our body language far faster than the words that we say. Even if we begin talking to someone within seconds, our brain has already processed that wrapper.
But I think that when we're talking about this, the concept of presence as a leader and as a tool in communication, that you really can ground yourself as a leader with different senses. And that is your own breathing, your body posture, how your pacing of the words and of your body. So those are sending messages to those senses that are very present in people's minds and brains that drive their decisions, drive their impressions, drive their reactions that have a stronger impact than your words do.
And this is an important tool and something that's very easy that can be used. Obviously, it can be used at any given point in time. But when you are in, as a leader, in an emotionally charged conversation or situation, or there's something come up and then you have to transition to go speak in front of your team, if you take 10 seconds to ground yourself mm-hmm. and simply, you know, you could even, you know, just stare out the window and say, okay, what can I see? What can I hear? What can I smell? And just really get present in the moment. It's amazing what difference that will make when you step in front of your team compared to if you didn't take those 10 seconds to ground mm-hmm. yourself in the present.
This applies to that whole concept of executive presence. It's what are people seeing and experiencing of me before I say a word. So grounding is a great tool. Another tool that leaders can use is curiosity.
My favorite.
Yes. So as we're up there delivering the message, really being curious about what's going on over there, that's telling me that they're listening, that they hear what I'm saying. Am I conveying a message that I respect them? Is my being showing that? Are they respecting what I'm saying? Then you can't read too much into exact body language, but in general, in the room, what is that energy going on that's signaling to you that they're hearing it? So curiosity is a very, very powerful tool for a leader in the whole space of the presence for communication.
Well, and I think it's easy. That is an easy tool to recognize when someone else is being curious or when someone else is not being curious, right? It's much easier to see it in somebody else than it is to see us in the moment for ourselves. But if we are present, then we can be curious. Mm-hmm. If we don't have that presence in that moment, then we can't be curious. Well, I know for myself in coaching a particular leader, and they really had difficulty in the moment recognizing what was going on during a meeting. And by simply inviting me to be an observer in the meeting and providing notes of what am I seeing in the room and providing that feedback was a huge eye-opener for this individual and allowed them to take a step back and say, do I become more aware of all these things that are happening in that moment? Because there's a lot, right? Uh-huh. You know, as we talk through these things, there's a lot. Leadership is hard, uh-huh. right? Being intentional is difficult. There are lots of things that we have to be attuned to or recognize. But the more that we do it, the more open that we are to it, and the more that we strive to get better at it, we will, and it will become easier.
When you say listening is hard, what I'm hearing is it's not for the faint of heart.
Exactly.
And you have to be willing and desire to be a better listener. And you can do that by taking one skill at a time, growing your muscle around that one thing. You know, we've already talked about two of the tools inside of that, one being curiosity and one is grounding yourself with the five senses. But another one is regulation, which we've touched on, but we haven't said that as a word. So what, you know, the whole regulation piece as a tool, how would you describe that to others?
It's being intentional about where we're at. Because if we don't know where we're at any given moment in time, and if we are in a space that's not good, and we step into a place where we have to be in our best game, we're not going to be able to step into that. So we have to be able to regulate that. And that is not just recognizing it, but it's also acknowledging mm-hmm. when someone storms into your office and you're in the middle of something and they're like, I need, you know, and you can be like, okay, I need 5 minutes to transition into, and that's being able to regulate. And if you are in a space to where you can be at the top of your game, then knowing that is part of that regulation as well.
It's not just an off the hook for, I don't want to have the conversation right now. It's saying, I want to hear you. I want to listen to you. And at this moment, I can't hear anything.
And that's a hard step to take as a leader because you want to be available yeah. all the time.
Yeah.
And in reality, we're humans. It's just not going to happen to be available all the time.
Yeah. So when you think about presence, I don't use the analogy of like lighting. So presence is the lighting that's in a room. You know, it's sometimes no light sends a message, but there's warm light, there's bright white light, and it creates a different space. Even if the same words are said, the same way of being shows up for the speaker. But presence really casts a light on how people can hear what you're trying to say. And it's one that I encourage you to not overlook.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And I think being able to kind of close the loop on communication really is checking to make sure, right, which we've talked a lot about in other episodes, about double checking of, did my intent create that impact? Having alignment with what my intent was and what the impact. And the only way to find that out is to create that feedback loop in the conversations that you're happening.
Leadership communication isn't about just sending the message. It's about creating that experience that we keep talking about. So these aren't random tools. Every single one of them ties back to the core of leadership. Coming to the end of our time together, Jonna, what is standing out for you from our core model in this topic of tools for communication?
Well, my first instinct is curiosity, but I think that we've talked a lot about, I usually gravitate towards curiosity because I'm a very curious person. And a lot of times my questions get me in trouble, but that's okay. But I do think when we think about these tools, I think openness to me really speaks volumes, right? And I think sometimes going back to the basics and being open to, I mean, by the time we're an adult, we have an extensive vocabulary. We know what words mean. But going back and being open to maybe a new meaning or a new perspective of a word that you've used for your entire life, maybe in a slightly incorrect way, but being open to change that and then watching the impact that could have. How about you?
For me, embrace is really ringing true, just truly owning the outcome of the conversation. Truly owning the fact that if the other person gets the intention, it's on me. If they don't get it, it's on me. It's my responsibility to make sure. So this brings us to our time of reflection. There's just really no one tool of communication. We've talked about so many in today's episode. The thinking as a tool, the instruments that you may use, the cadence, your presence, the alignment between you and the other person. All of that shapes a person's experience within seconds. Intentional leaders really know that it only takes a few seconds to make that connection. So before your next conversation, ask yourself, what tool do I need to be more intentional with or use differently for the experience I want to create?
That's a powerful question. I'm excited to think about that this week as I go about my conversations. But our next episode is a springboard off of what we've been talking about for the last couple of weeks. But we are going to dive into leadership emotional agility. And this really is necessary for us to use these tools. It is necessary for us to be fully present. Don't forget to access our resources on our website, www.quest2thecore.com. And as always, our discussion guides will be posted out there where you can use with a group or a team, very much like a book club tailored to the content of each episode.
So we have a very special thanks to our Grammy recognized hit songwriter, Cliff Goldmacher, for our theme song. His information is on our website and the services that he provides for leadership development. So go check him out.
And until next time, lead with curiosity about the experience you are creating. Be intentional about the tools you choose and how you use them. And remember, communication isn't measured by how hard you try. It's measured by the experience you create.